Good morning, everybody. Glad you guys are here this morning and watching online. And I know what you're thinking as that table is coming out. It's like, oh, Craig's going to do some magic. I know that's what you're thinking. And what's funny is it's like I had lovely assistants to help me put the table up. And anyway, I laughed about that. Maybe you don't. But anyway, it is good to have you guys. And so thankful for you to be here. If you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. That's where we're going to be this morning. And talking a little bit out of Ephesians and really continuing our series this morning on the good life. What is the good life? And if you remember, we started several weeks ago talking about this good life that we are to live. And you might be thinking, well, that just seems kind of strange. But listen, the good life that we're talking through is not the good life defined by the world. We're not talking about having a lot of stuff, not talking about maybe the one that has the biggest house or the nicest car or anything like that. But what we're talking about is living a life found in Jesus. That good life that's found in surrendering to Him and allowing Him to work and move in our life. And so it's almost a total difference from what the world would define as a good life, but it can be found in Jesus. And so this morning, I just want to be forthcoming in this and say right at the beginning that this morning as we talk about the next part of this good life, this was a difficult one. So this is a hard one because I think it is something that we have all dealt with. We all may be still dealing with in our life. It's something that has been felt by all of us. And this morning we're going to talk about moving from bitterness to forgiveness. What does it mean to live a life not caught and stranglehold by our bitterness, anger, whatever it may be? How do we live life as God has called us to live, as ones that are forgiven and willing to forgive? I don't know about you, but when summer hits, maybe not so much now, but when summer hits, we like to go swimming. Being around the water is always fun for us. And you know, we, as much as we can, we like to go jump into a pool, anybody's pool. So we could be coming around your houses someday, but we like to swim. One of the things that I always found to be fun, and maybe you did this too, but you take a beach ball and you're playing around in the pool. What does everybody do with a beach ball in a swimming pool? You push it down, right? You try to sit on it, you stand on it, and those kind of things. And what does that end up doing? You know, it flies away. So I was thinking about that the other day. And as we talk about moving from bitterness to forgiveness, you may be thinking, Craig, why are we talking about forgiveness, you know, forgiving others? Why is that being brought up today? Well, I believe in order to live the good life, the life found in Jesus, full of joy and peace, it is important that we understand that it cannot be living we can't be living in a life of bitterness. Now, I say that because as believers, as churchgoers, we do a pretty good job of kind of hiding maybe some anger that we have in our life. We do a pretty good job of that. And needless to say, we have all been somehow hurt by somebody or something or some situation at least once in our life. Matter of fact, if we were to do a show of hands and I said, who in here has been hurt by somebody's words or actions or a situation, I'm pretty sure every single person in here would raise their hand because they've been hurt. But looking from the outside in, many times we don't see that hurt, and primarily, some, you know, many times it's because we hide it so well. We may be angry at someone or angry at a situation, but we have hidden it and pushed it down in our life because we don't want other people to see it, and we just kind of want to make it our own little thing, and we live our life hanging on to the anger and bitterness that's around us. So I believe it's crucial for us as believers to talk about what it means to forgive, to let go of maybe that hurt that's been caused by someone or some situation. And here's why. In the same way, when you go to a pool and you get on that beach ball and you push it down, we as believers, as we experience hurt, and listen, we have all walked different aspects of hurt. Some maybe a word spoken at a store, a grocery store, something that hurts our heart. We've experienced that, but some even more through abuse or whatever it may be, through relationships, but it's even deeper kind of hurt. Regardless, we've all experienced some kind of hurt. And many times what we do is we push it down because we don't want to forgive someone because they don't deserve it, or we just want to kind of push it away and forget about it. But what happens is when we start doing that, we push our anger, our resentment down to where it can't be seen, kind of under the surface, and we kind of try to hide it there every Sunday, every Wednesday, every chance that we get. We push it down. We don't want people to see it. But can I just say this? That may work for a while. And avoiding forgiveness may seem like a good choice for a while, but what happens is, just like the beach ball in a swimming pool, eventually it pops up. It overflows out of your life. And you may hide your bitterness and you may hide your anger for a little while, but eventually it's going to spring forth. And what you thought was just your own little issue and harmless to you and others is going to end up pouring out. And the bitterness and the anger that you experienced in your life because of hurt will turn into you hurting other people. The picture of the water splashing over the side. Listen, everybody is affected when someone is hurt and it's not dealt with. So I want to just encourage you this morning. If you're experiencing that in your life, if you're living in this life where you have kind of pushed it down and this hurt that's happened to you, whatever it may be, and listen, all of it is serious. And if you've been pushing down that anger, resentment, trying to just wishing and hoping it goes away, listen, I want to encourage you today, deal with it. Let's deal with it. Let's talk about it. Let's move forward. And really, it's found in forgiveness. So open up your Bibles again to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at this just a little bit. Ephesians 4, we're going to be looking at verses 31 and 32 and kind of tie in this idea from bitterness to forgiveness and work through the notes together this morning. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 32. If you would and you're able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? Here's what God's Word says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for, again, the power that's in your word. In our prayers, Holy Spirit, move and work in this place and in our hearts. And Father, if there's something inside of us today, maybe it is bitterness and anger that has just taken root. I pray that we would just lay it out before you, and that if we need to forgive, that we would forgive. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, I want you to know as we talk through this that this is very personal, because I've walked through this in my life, even since being here at Hampton. I talked last week about anger and different things in my life and being dry spiritually because of things that have happened in my life, and I took it out on Amy. So I think we've all experienced some kind of hurt from someone or some situation. Some of us have been hurt by maybe a church or something like that that has hurt us, and we kind of hold on to that, and it does bring in bitterness in our life. And can I just say that we can't do what God has called us to do in this life. We can't experience what Christ wants us to experience in Him if we're bitter, if we're angry. And so as we talk about this, I hope that this is encouraging to you. I hope that you see the truth that we don't have to hold on to this, that God is big and He can move and work in our lives. Listen, unforgiveness can be work for a little while. You know what I mean? Like, we can live our life kind of pushing things down in our life. We can hold on to that unforgiveness. And it may work for a while, we may hide it for a while, but in the end, it really betrays us. It may look good, but really it betrays us. So I want to just share with you a couple of things about the betrayal of unforgiveness. What does that look like? What happens in our life when we are hurt and we don't allow God to work and move in our life in a way that leads us to forgive and to move past it and to grow and to heal? And the first thing is this. Unforgiveness leads to unwanted strongholds. If you're living right now in your life in unforgiveness, if you have decided that you didn't want to forgive a person for hurting you, or you don't want to move past the hurt that comes from the church or another situation, can I just say unforgiveness leads to unwanted strongholds. If you look at the definition and the Greek word really of bitterness that's found in the New Testament, especially here in Ephesians 4, it says, let all bitterness and all wrath and anger. If you look at that word, literally that word means resentful spirit. And so when Paul's talking about getting rid of these things, he's talking about something in your life that is growing, that is alive. Listen, bitterness is alive in your heart, in your soul, if you haven't taken care of it. And it will keep growing and manifesting in your life until it comes out of your life. Matter of fact, in Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 15, it calls it this, the root of bitterness. Be careful of the root of bitterness that will grow in your life and overwhelm and overtake. Listen, what happens is this. We may have a flourishing relationship with the Lord, but when bitterness begins to take root in our life and grow and grow and grow, we're not willing to follow biblically what He's called us to do. It grows in our life and results in a spirit of bitterness. And what happens is it allows a stronghold to take place in our life. We become really chained to this bitterness and to this anger in our life. This idea of stronghold, and we talked a lot about that when we were going through, really talking about spiritual warfare not too long ago, and really putting on the full armor of God. We are in a spiritual battle. When we talk about stronghold, what we're talking about is this. It's really the bondage of sin, the bondage of anger, things like that take hold in your life, and it keeps you from doing what God has called you to do. It keeps you from being who God has called you to be. It's a stronghold in your life, and you're allowing it to chain you down. Matter of fact, if you look in Scripture, I love this in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, just before what we read, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Why is it important? Why is Paul talking about not letting the sun go down on your anger? Is God just giving us a set of rules so He can control us? Listen, God knows the best life for us. He knows where we can find the most joy and the most peace in our life. And one of the things is this, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Why? Because that's where the devil gets a foothold. That's where the strongholds come in. When we don't take care of it, when we hold on to hurt and hold on to anger and don't step forward in that forgiveness, what happens is we have a stronghold in our life. And when that stronghold comes, listen, it is hard to do what God has called you to do. Which really leads to the next one. Unforgiveness leads to unfruitful ministry. Unforgiveness leads to unfruitful ministry. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. This is Paul talking. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. I love this. Because Paul really is saying this. He goes, I forgive. And you know, when we forgive, listen, that's so difficult and so hard. And Paul, of all people, think about who he had to forgive and what was done to him. But listen, he's saying, I forgive. Why does he do that? Because he knows Satan's plans. Satan would love for us to hold on to anger and bitterness in our life rather than give forgiveness. And so Paul's saying, listen, I forgive. Because we're not ignorant of Satan's designs. We don't want to be outwitted by Satan. Mark 11, 25 says this, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. I love this. You're talking about messing up your ministry and being unfruitful in ministry. Listen, he's talking about if you're in praying and you need to forgive someone, then you need to go ahead and do it. Listen, unforgiveness leads to unfruitful ministry. You don't pray as well. Your prayers aren't as powerful when you haven't forgiven someone. You're holding on to anger and bitterness in your life. Teachers, if you're a life group teacher, if you're teaching a Sunday school class, listen, you're not the teacher you need to be if you're holding on to bitterness and anger and you're not forgiving someone. If you're a pastor and you're not forgiving someone, listen, you are unfruitful in ministry if you're holding on to this hurt and bitterness and anger and not doing what God has called us to do, and that's to forgive. So unforgiveness leads to unfruitful ministry. You know, a friend of mine inherited a building to take care of, and when he got there, he realized that the roof was falling apart, the inside ceiling was falling apart in the building. And this wasn't something that just happened. I mean, it wasn't something like just started happening a week before he got there. This had been going on for about 10 years. There was just decline and decay in the ceiling and in the roof, everything. What's so interesting about that is if it had been taken care of at the very beginning, you could have solved the problem in just a little bit of money and taken care of it. But now, 10 years later, it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars just to fix the roof. You know, for us, I look at that and I think about bitterness and anger. Listen, if we don't take care of it now, if we don't do something about it now, what's going to happen is the consequences of unforgiveness and bitterness will be far greater down the road. It's going to affect far more people than you could ever imagine. You know, we talked the other day about, last week, about how you can't give others what you don't have. There is an exception to that. You can give them bitterness. You can pass along anger and bitterness. You see how unfruitful ministry is when we hold on to bitterness. When we're not willing to let it go and forgive. We pass it on. We pass it on to our kids. We pass it on to future generations. We pass it on to our coworkers. When all along, if we would just take care of it, let God work and do what He's called us to do. So, listen, the betrayal of unforgiveness is enormous. But can I just share with you just a few things about the benefits of forgiveness? And I hope that as you hear this and you look in God's Word and we talk about what happens in our life when we do forgive, then I hope you're encouraged with this. One is this: forgiveness leads to daily freedom in God. Listen, I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, Craig, you don't know what I've been through. And man, I don't, and I get, and some I do, but everybody's in different areas of hurt. But I do know this, no matter where you are in hurt, no matter what has been done to you or happened to you, when we forgive, there's great freedom. We are in a stronghold in unforgiveness. We are in freedom when we forgive. You know, Luke 6:37 says, "Forgive and you will be forgiven." What does that mean for us? Let's think back. Think back when you first accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. When you went to Jesus at the cross and said, "Jesus, forgive me for my sin." Listen, we are sinners. We've all missed the mark. And then we come before the Lord asking for forgiveness. And what does 1 John tell us? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He has forgiven us. And in forgiveness, we have freedom. No longer do we have to be bound by the chains of sin. Listen, when we forgive, we are free. Now you may be thinking your unforgiveness is what is going to take to make the other person pay. Can I just tell you, it's not worth it. In forgiveness, we find freedom. And that freedom is far greater than anything that we could physically, emotionally ever do to someone else. Listen, our freedom found in forgiveness. I love Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You know, when I first moved here, so again, 14 years ago, Amy and I, we moved into a house right over here, and Hayden and Kyler, Paxton wasn't here yet, but we moved into a house just a couple of streets from the church, and we were living out, and it was great. We loved being here. I was so excited, but something that happened to me, it never happened in all my years in Texas, never had this issue. I think it could have been the sweet tea of Georgia. I don't know what was happening, but when I got here, all of a sudden, I started having gallbladder attacks. How many of y'all had gallbladder attacks? Anybody? Is that a little personal? This might be too much information. But anyway, I'm going to share it anyway. But listen, I started having gallbladder. If you never had gallbladder attacks, and I know some of you are like, well, I got kidney stones. That's far worse. Yeah, whatever. All right, so mine is so much worse. But anyway, I had these gallstone attacks, and I'm telling you, it was painful. Like, I thought I was having a heart attack. It was hurting so bad. And what was funny about that, I don't know if you guys ever have had this, but I'd sit on the floor and prop my legs up on the couch. I would turn sideways. I would do whatever it took to try to make the pain go away. I would have stood on my head if it made the pain go away. I tried every position possible trying to make it feel better and do that. But you know what? No matter what I tried, I never found peace. I didn't. Until what? Until the doctor took it out. Can I just tell you, you're never going to find peace if you're holding on to bitterness. You're never going to find joy if you're holding on to the hurt that someone has caused you. But man, if you forgive, that's when healing starts to take place. And that's when God allows you to experience freedom. Listen, you're never going to experience the fullness of what God has and the freedom that He has for you until you let Him just take it away. So forgive. Forgiveness leads to deeper fellowship with God. Forgiveness leads to deeper fellowship with God. And what does that mean? Well, I was thinking the other day about my relationship with Jesus, and I think about all the things that can get in the way of that relationship. And I think about all the time that I spent thinking and pondering over the person or persons that hurt me, and all that time, how it took me away from Jesus. And I think about when I understand what it means to forgive, then I fully understand what it means to be forgiven. When I experience what the Bible has commanded me to do and to forgive those who have hurt me, I recognize what Jesus went through for me. And what happens is it creates a deeper fellowship with the God who loves me. It allows me to refocus back on who He is and what He has done for me. Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Listen, when we forgive, we experience Jesus more. When we forgive, when we're willing to let go of the bitterness and anger and forgive, then we see Jesus in our life. We grow closer to Him. And here's what I want to share with you on that. And this is one of the issues that we have with forgiveness when we are called to forgive. We think and believe that forgiveness is horizontal. That's the way we look at it. And rightly so. I mean, that's kind of how we've been raised. That's what we look at. So when we think about forgiveness, automatically we think of reconciliation with a person, those kind of things. We think of it horizontally. Can I just challenge your thinking for a little bit and say this, that forgiving someone, this forgiveness is actually vertical. That's where it begins. It's vertical. Listen, just because you forgive someone doesn't mean there's going to be reconciliation. Listen, there are some people that don't want to take your forgiveness. And I understand that. And listen, there's some hurt that's so deep that happens to people. Reconciliation, although we would love for reconciliation to happen, it may not. But listen, forgiveness can. And you know why? Because forgiveness is vertical. That's where it starts. So this is not necessarily about the other person in a sense. This is about you and about God. And so when we begin to talk about forgiving others, it begins with this relationship with the Lord. And this is where we grow deeper in relationship and fellowship with God, because we go to Him. Listen, all this other stuff, when we start talking about horizontal relationships, we talk about the one who offended me, the one that should have consequences because of what he or she has done to me. Listen, that can still come, but listen, what you're doing is this. This is all about me and God, and God's going to take care of the rest. You see, it's all about relationship with the Lord. And so forgiveness leads to a deeper fellowship with the God who loves you. And listen to this, the God who is perfect and just. In our limited ability, we can't do much, but God is in control. And so may we look to forgive others, because we know that it's about Him and us. So what do we do as we think about this forgiving others, and what is the kind of steps that we can take? And I'll just be honest with you, it's messy. Forgiveness, forgiving others is messy. It's hard, it's difficult, and I would never trivialize any of that. And again, some hurt is so deep, and that is so difficult. I'm just going to flat out and say this. The first thing that we need to do when you're talking about forgiveness is to decide. And if you're not taking notes, I want you to write that down. Decide. Because here's what it comes down to. You are never going to feel like forgiving somebody. You're just not. Listen, I can speak on my own, but I'm pretty sure you're like me. You're never truly going to feel like forgiving somebody. But I'm just going to say this. What you're experiencing now and the hurt that someone has caused you, and it's understandable. That's understandable. It is. I can empathize. I can feel that and I understand that. And listen, I would never say that what you're experiencing is not real, because it is. And forgiving others, you're never going to really feel like forgiving someone. But just because it's understandable doesn't make it biblical. And as believers today, what do we go with? What God has told us to do. And God has told us to forgive. So I say that because some people will say this, that forgiveness is a process. I say forgiveness is a decision. Forgiveness is a decision. Now listen, the healing, now that's a process. And every day you may make that decision again. Hey, today I'm going to choose to forgive. And that's okay. But listen, it is a choice that you have to make, that I have to make. So we have to decide to forgive. Because why? Because God tells us we are to forgive. Colossians 3, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Listen, we have legitimate reasons to be angry and to be hurt. They are legitimate, but listen, it doesn't change the fact that we have to make a choice. And I want to encourage you today. I would even say this, and I believe this with all my heart, in order for healing to begin, it starts with a choice. It starts with a decision to forgive. God has called us to forgive. But I don't want to leave it with just that, because that seems pretty legalistic, to be honest with you. But it's true. We decide, but here's the good part. Depend. Depend. We make a choice, and we decide to forgive. And man, is it hard. And that hurt doesn't go away. But listen, you depend on the Holy Spirit. You depend on the Holy Spirit to give you the strength. And listen, we don't feel like forgiving someone. We don't want to forgive someone. That's when the power of the Holy Spirit will take over in your life. Depend on Him to give you what you need in order to forgive. And listen, when we depend on Him, it's not just the choice that's made. Then you walk this journey with the Holy Spirit, providing what you need daily. Because there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's going to be days when we are upset again. The Holy Spirit is going to give us the strength to move forward. I love in John chapter 20, it says this. It says, Jesus said to them again, this is verse 21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Then in verse 23 of John 20, you know what the next verse says? Right here it says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Isn't it amazing as Jesus says, "I'm going to breathe on the Holy Spirit," and then right after this says, "Forgive." Why? I think it's because it's hard. Forgiveness is hard. And only through the dependence of the Holy Spirit in our life are we able to do the things He's called us to do. So listen, decide. Decide today. It's a choice we make that you're going to follow what God has called and you're going to forgive. Then depend on the Holy Spirit to give you strength to walk this journey. Allow Him to heal you and to change and transform you as you do this. And then the last thing is this, display it. Display it. Listen, as we continue to walk this journey, God is going to call on us to display the peace and the joy that He's provided in our life. What does that look like? It's praying. Praying for the people that have hurt you. Praying for those enemies. As the Bible says, listen, it says this, Luke 6, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." Listen, that's displaying the grace only God can give you. That's displaying the forgiveness only God can provide through you. Listen, we decide, we depend, and we display this grace that God is calling on us to give. So my boys, they've asked me this question before, and I try to share this with them, but and other people have asked me too, "Craig, what happens when someone hurts you, or what do we do, you know, if someone's mean to us? How do we love them? You know, how are we supposed to be that Christian to them?" Those kind of things. And I always think too about those that do prison ministries, and we wonder, how do they show grace and love to those that have done the worst acts possible? And I always tell people, listen, it's the missionary mindset. It's the missionary mindset. For us, we are limited. And it is hard sometimes to love people. You know how it is. It is hard to show love to people. And there are some people it's harder to show love to. But when we talk about a missionary mindset, what we're saying is this, that we've been called by God to show the love of Jesus Christ to all people. And so whether it's someone that is nice to me, whether it's someone that has hurt me, whether it is a friend or a foe, listen, I'm called to love not based upon my strength, not based upon who I am, but because Jesus and what Jesus has done. You see, it's a missionary mindset. Everything changes when we look at it through the eyes of Jesus. And for us, as we forgive, how do you love those people? How do you continue to pray for those that have hurt you, whether it's a person or an establishment or some? How do you do that? Listen, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the power that comes through relationship with Him. And you let Him guide and let Him love through you as you pray, as you lift others up, as you display the grace that God has given you. So I want to encourage you today, decide, depend, display this forgiveness that God has called us to do for those around us. Listen, I want to go back to this truth. Unforgiveness, who does it really hurt? It hurts you. It hurts the person that was hurt. And so this is all about you and God. And today, allow God to break those chains of hurt. Start the healing process today and forgive. Make that decision forgive. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. My prayer, church, for all of us, is that the spring of life that flows from us is from Jesus, and it gives life to everyone. I pray that it's not bitterness. And if it is, if that's what's coming from our heart today, let's decide. Maybe today is the day we forgive and we allow Jesus to heal.